Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
The most important and most powerful weapon available to the child of God is prayer. I preached on prayer one time this winter, and I'm going to touch on one of those verses, but we're going other places here this morning. It is the most powerful and yet the most neglected, underrated, unused, underestimated weapon that God gives us. Many of us, we carry burdens that were not designed by God to carry, because we have no prayer life. We have no prayer closet. And if I could, prayer is, R.A. Torrey said this, prayer is omnipotent because God is omnipotent. God is unlimited. Now get your mind around this. Therefore, prayer is unlimited. God is omnipotent. Therefore, prayer is omnipotent. Don't limit what God wants to do. D.L. Moody used to tell this story in some of his revival campaigns. He had a dream one time. It was just a fictitious dream. He said, I had a dream, and an angel was showing me around heaven. And I was walking up and down the streets of heaven and just in awe of all the wonder and all of the glory. And we made our way into a great room, and I couldn't see the end of the room. It was just filled with all kinds of good things and blessings. And I said to the angel, sir, what's this room all about? And the angel said, Brother Moody, these are the things that our Heavenly Father intended to give his children, but they never asked. Ye have not because ye ask not. Luke in chapter 11. Luke and chapter 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, and Jesus started his ministry with prayer, and he ended his ministry with prayer. Jesus, who is the very Son of God in the flesh, spent much time in prayer. Often we read in the scriptures, he retreated to a mountainside to be alone and pray. What is it he did before Calvary? He went to Gethsemane to be alone and to pray. And if the Son of God needed to call upon his Father, then all the more we as sinners saved by grace ought to be spending much time in prayer. I think we all agree with that. It came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, he wasn't interrupted, but when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. They didn't ask, Lord, teach us to teach, or teach us to preach, or teach us to sing. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he gives a pattern here in these next several verses. Some erroneously call the Lord's Prayer. It is not the Lord's Prayer. Nowhere in the Bible is it called the Lord's Prayer. John in chapter 17, that's the Lord's Prayer. Jesus never had to confess sin. What he does here is he gives a pattern on how to pray. And I'm gonna end the message with that this morning. But he says, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus here instructs his disciples, great respect, holy awe. He's not the big man upstairs. You approach the throne of God boldly, it says in Hebrews in chapter 4, but you never forget, hallowed be thy name. He is a holy God. You praise him. You pray for his program, the Great Commission, his purpose. You thank him for his provision, his pardon. And then you pray for the path of life and the power of God upon your life. In this pilgrimage, he said, you pray for, here's how you pray. Your name, God's name, your kingdom, God's kingdom, your will, God's will, your provision, God provides for us, your grace, God is all about you, and we can't do it without you, and your way, God, I surrender to you. That's how we're supposed to pray. Our greatest failures as Christians are prayer failures. Dr. John R. Rice said that. Let me say it again. Our greatest failures, think of the failures in our life. Our greatest failures are prayer failures. C.H. Spurgeon said, I know of no better thermometer of spiritual temperature in a man's life or a church's life than the measure of the intensity of their prayers. When a Christian stops fellowshipping and going to church, the devil smiles. When a Christian stops studying his Bible, the devil laughs. When a Christian stops praying, the devil shouts. All hell takes notice. When a single, solitary child of God gets on his or her knees and approaches the throne boldly. There's some Bible instruction here I want to go over just briefly, and then I want to give you the meat, but I want to get, it's all the Word of God. Look at what it says in verse 5. Let's just go there. And I hope you're challenged this morning. I hope you're already convicted. I hope you're actually sitting there thinking, man, he's going to preach on prayer, and I'm not a prayer warrior. I don't spend the time praying that I ought to. I'm going to be convicted. Listen, don't build up barriers. Be open to God the Holy Spirit. May God the Holy Spirit challenge you this morning to become a prayer warrior. We need some John Hydes in America today, praying John Hydes. We need some George Muellers who had 60,000 recorded answers to prayer. 30,000 of those prayers were answered on the very day that he prayed them. He didn't send no prayer letters. He went to the throne of God for his needs, and God met his needs again and again and again. You know what? That's from the church age. We have the same God. We have the same throne that we can boldly approach because of our great high priest. We have the same Holy Spirit that filters our prayers. We are challenged by God. Oh, go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I want to read this. John and chapter 14, verse 12. And I'm going to read through verse 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Don't read that too fast. Jesus is going to Calvary. None of us can match that. Jesus, because he's deity, is going to pay for the sins of all mankind. None of us can do that. None of us are holy. But because he goes to the Father as our one mediator, as our advocate, as our great high priest, we can ask God for great things and we'll accomplish greater things in our pilgrimage than what Jesus accomplished during his 3 years of ministry. You say, I don't know that I quite believe that. Well, Jesus said so. Look what he says. I'll read it again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. You see, when we serve God, and there's spiritual battles being fought, and spiritual victories being won, who's really winning the victory? It's God the Son. He's working through his church. He's working through his people. He said, I'm going to the Father. I told you about the many mansions. I'm going to the Father. And because I'm going to the Father, I am going to intercede on your behalf. And all you've got to do is surrender and ask, and I'll provide. It says in verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That doesn't mean you pray for a brand new Cadillac and God's going to give you that Cadillac. No, he may not. That may not be the will of God. It might be personally for you. Who knows? I have no idea. But when you pray in the name of God the Son, Jesus Christ, you are praying according to the will of God. It is Bible praying. God hears those prayers and God will answer those prayers. You know, like certain people getting saved. Like a region being won for Christ. Like the Church of Jesus Christ conquering an entire peninsula. That is the will of God. But we have not because we ask not. He says also in verse 14, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. All it requires is some faith. Some intense praying. I'm going to talk about that right at the end of the message. So don't limit, let me quote the psalmist. Don't limit the Holy One of Israel. Don't be satisfied with just the breadcrumbs that fall from the table. I'm not saying, God, don't you pray, God, make me rich. Don't you pray, God, make me, make me popular. Don't pray those kind of prayers. Those are all fleshly prayers. But if you'll get a hold of the throne of God, if God will raise up some real prayer warriors, I tell you the truth, I would rather have a little old lady that has God's ear pray for this ministry than a front page ad in every newspaper in the state of Michigan. Because that makes the difference. When someone who has the ear of God, someone who knows what prayer is all about, boldly comes to the throne of grace and asks for great things, you say, preacher, I have fallen so far short. I have failed God so many ways in that area. And we probably would all have to raise our hand. And again, John Rice said, the greatest failures of Christians are prayer failures. Let's go back to Luke 11. Luke in chapter 11. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves. And a friend of mine is in his journey, for a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And from within, so he's in a desperate situation. He says in verse 7, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed and I cannot rise and give thee. He said, the friend says, not now, but you're out there knocking. This is a picture of prayer. You're out there knocking, and your friend says, no, not now. It's not the right time. Verse 8 says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. In other words, he says, you keep on asking. You keep on knocking. That word importunity actually means without shame. Man, he's down there. He's still knocking on the front door. He still wants in. I'm going to have to get up. Jesus said, that's how you pray. With that kind of intensity, you don't sell God short. If you know it is the will of God, and if it's the known will of God, you don't stop praying. You don't quit praying for that loved one. You don't stop. Read the next verse. Verse 9 says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, and seek and ye shall find, and knock and it shall be opened unto you. He said, you keep on asking, you keep on seeking, and you keep on knocking. You say, preacher, how do you know that? I'm going to impress you right now. Because the verbs ask, knock, and seek are in the present tense, active voice. That means, that's impressive, isn't it? That means that you keep on asking. You don't ask one time and let it go. You get a hold of the horns of the altar, and you pray, and you ask God, and you intercede on behalf of souls. You intercede on behalf of ministry and the needs of people. It's importune prayer. It's relentless praying. You know it's God's will. Verse 10 says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Not the good Father in heaven, he'll answer the prayers every time. He'll give them exactly what they need. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The third person of the Trinity. God will meet the needs, our personal needs, in himself. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews in chapter 4. I alluded to it. Let's read it. Hebrews and chapter 4, verse 14. I'm going to have to shorten this up because I'm just into my first point here. But it says in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest, his name is Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace without shame, under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In myself, in my flesh, I have no right to be before the throne of God. I have no right to have an audience with God. By the way, don't tell me you love Jesus if you never speak to him. Don't tell me you love Jesus if you never talk to him, you never pray to him, you never commune with him. All you're doing is you're just going through life and doing your own thing and hoping for the best. And you might be born again, but you keep running into brick walls and you keep making poor choices. Don't tell me you love God if there's no communication between the two. You talk to God by way of prayer. God talks to you by way of you reading the Word of God. And that's Bible praying is what that is. And God puts it together. But don't pretend you're a spiritual giant because you come to a Baptist church and you know you're born again and you're carrying your King James Bible to church. This ministry, this local church needs prayer warriors. There needs to be more than just people out knocking on doors, more than just people sweating and toiling at the camp, more than just people working all the children's programs, more than just people working at Maplewood Baptist Academy. There's got to be a boil. There's got to be a fire in the boiler. There's got to be someone stoking the fires. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, pastor of the Metropolitan Baptist Church, Metropolitan Tabernacle. It eventually became known as that. The tabernacle that he built It seated 6,000 people. I think it was after the fire. Seated 6,000 people. Some tourists were visiting from America. And the place was packed. And by the way, it was packed every service. And this will blow your mind. They sold tickets to go to church. Now, he's the first independent Baptist. He did his own way, right? Sold tickets to, I don't know if that would work here or not. If I thought it would work, I might, no, it won't. All right. Sold tickets to go to church. And you bought the ticket, and what you paid for, that's where you seated. You were seated. 5 minutes before the service started, they opened the doors, and everybody, they piled in. They were lined up all around the perimeter, all around the balconies. There were people standing shoulder to shoulder. And the American tourist said, man, what's going on here? How is this happening? And they took him down to the basement, and there were while he was preaching, 200 people on their knees praying. Beseeching the throne of God, asking for power of God. Do you really want to see the peninsula one to Christ? Man, do you really want to see Northern Michigan change? Do you really want to make an impact, a mark for God in these last days? Now you can do the praying at home. You can do it beside your bed. You can do it at your workplace. We're to pray without ceasing. I understand all of that, but we got to get serious about this thing called prayer. Let me skip way ahead in the passage. Let me go all the way down to go back to Luke in chapter 11. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians in chapter 2. Thinking on my feet is not always good. It's chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That word careful, of course, means anxious. Anybody anxious this morning about something? Are you worried about something? Are you fretting about something? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. That's that same passage in Hebrews in chapter 4 that speaks of our great high priest. You see what? See, if you come to Christ and you develop a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ based upon the word of God, you develop that relationship, things don't bother you like they used to. You know, you figure things out like... God's got this under control. I've surrendered to him. And it's all going to work out. All things do work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Again, don't tell me you love God if you're not talking to him. You might be going along for the ride, but you got to have a personal relationship. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the God of peace, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Through Christ Jesus. All right, so we've gotten some Bible instruction on prayer. Let me go back to Luke in chapter 11, and I want to give you a simple little outline, and I want to make this as practical as I can in the last 10 minutes. I got five. I'm going to take 10, and it'll still be 10 too, and we still got lots of time. And then Josh, get up here and give all the announcements and so forth. I want to help you in your prayer time. First of all, verse 1, it says, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, talking about his prayer time, there needs to be a private time of prayer. For every believer, there needs to be a place and a time. Jesus referred to it in Matthew and chapter 5 as a prayer closet. There needs to be a place that is scheduled and you get alone with God. You say, I can do it without scheduling it. How's it going? We all think we're the exception. Man, so just have a schedule, doesn't have to be regimented, but a scheduled time and place where you get alone with God, a certain place. And it's not a show. Matthew chapter 6 and verses 5 through 7 tells us that. Man, you don't stand in the street corners and pray in the old English and become think you're something mighty and spiritual. That's not how it works. That's not what it is. Don't go there, not as a child of God. So there's a private time, a prayer closet. You close the door behind you. Matthew chapter 6 talks about this. You close the door behind you. It's not a show. And you pray. And you're real with God. You bare your heart before God. Do you ever do that? Or you just pray cliches? Do you ever tell God you love him? Do you ever tell God you're sorry for what you've done with tears? I remember hearing the story. My preacher told me this when I was in junior high, and he told about this one guy that he led to Christ. He had no church background, none whatsoever. He wasn't disrespectful to God. He was just an old-time Uper, Finnish accent. He was a logger. He worked in the woods, big, thick cigar fingers. You know how those guys are. Just rugged hair, greased back, and just a big heart. A heart as big as all outdoors. And a hard-drinking man, and he got born again. I wish I could remember his name. I can't remember it right now. He got born again, and to quote our brother down in Millersburg, and boy, did he get born again. His life changed, dramatically changed. And God started answering his prayers. It became well known in the church. You wanted something, and you just tell, I'll just use a fictitious name. You tell Charlie, he'll pray about it, and something's going to happen. And the preacher asked him one day, hey, where do you have your prayer closet? He said, I start every day in the woods at the base of a tree. He said, you mind if I come with you sometime? He said, well, it ain't fancy, preacher, but come on ahead. Just after dawn, they're walking in the woods, and he sits down beside a big tree, leans up against the back of the tree. He says, have a seat. The preacher sits down beside him, and the preacher bows his head, and he gets ready to, he wants to hear this mighty man of God pray. And they sit there in silence, even before the birds are singing. And all of a sudden, he hears two words. Hello, God. And he said, the hair in the back of my neck. You ever had a prayer time where you were, I'm not trying to be over the top, where you felt the presence of God so powerfully you were afraid to open your eyes because you thought you might see him? Holy ground? A sacred place? Man, when's the last time you knelt by your bed? When's the last time you communicated with God? There needs to be a place. Here's a pattern. I shared this some time ago. I'll share it again. You might want to write it down. This is how I pray right here. I'm no great prayer warrior. I pray every day. I pray around the state. I pray for every preacher that is a friend of mine in the state of Michigan. And I always end the prayer, God, I know there's so many I don't know. And God, would you just bless them as well? I believe he sees my heart in that prayer. But there's not only a place and there's not only a time. This is how I pray. I use an acronym. It's the word ACTS, like the book of Acts. A-C-T-S. First letter, A. I start every prayer this way. I did it this morning. Adoration. God, thank you. God, thank you. Thank you for loving me. I know I'm not a loving person. God, thank you for being long-suffering. You put up with me. God, thank you for forgiving me of all my sins, even though you know I'm going to sin again. And yet you see eternity future and you forgive me. God, thank you. Thank you for being immutable and you're never going to change. I prayed that this morning. God, thank you that you're not going to pull the rug out from underneath me halfway through this, that you're the God of heaven. You just adore him for a while. How about brag on Jesus a little bit? How about love on your Savior just a little bit? You say, I don't think you're really praying. If you just pray red prayers and cliches, I don't think it's getting any further than the ceiling. But you start adoring God and then you realize what a sinner you are. That's how that works. And so it's an easy transition to the letter C, confession. I confess my sins. And the Bible tells us if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, I had a psalm for every one of these. Just write it down. Psalm 103 and verse 1, blessing God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that within me. Bless his holy name. Psalm 66 and verse 18 through 20. Confess our sins to God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, man, I'm separated from God. It separates me. Then we come to after the confession. Sometimes that confession takes a little bit of time. And you know what? It's humbling. Your preacher hadn't arrived. Periodically, I get mad at people. And if I'm angered, I have that temper where I have that anger towards them, and I hate my brother, I've committed murder. That's how holy God is. He says not only what you do, but what you think. Not only what you do, but it's who you are. I confess my sins. And then I get to thanking him. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5, enter into his courts with thanksgiving. I adore him. I confess my sins. I thank him for forgiving my sins. And then I get to the letter S, and that's supplication. I call out to God. Psalm 102, let's turn back there. Psalm 102. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. We're to supplicate, we're to ask God, we're to bring prayer requests to our Heavenly Father. And then there's two more things I want to say. No, that's the word ACTS, right? The acronym. You can put this, you can take this to your prayer closet. It'll help you pray. What he says in Luke in chapter 11, here's the pattern. This is the pattern. You know, your will, your purpose, all the way through there. Here's the pattern. Adore him. Hallowed be thy name. Confess your sin. Forgive me. Be thankful. Praise God. Thank him. Thank him for all the blessings in your life. And then supplications. Then you bring your request unto God. You let them be known to God. He loves to hear those prayers. I remember a preacher in my teenage years saying this, God delights in answering the prayers of his children. If I just quit mixing sin into it, if I could just quit mixing flesh into it and surrender to the will of God, God delights in answering those prayers. And then there's one more thing. Personalize the prayer. May it be real. This is the part that we can add. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. The frequency of the prayers. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. I feel like we're too casual with God. I feel like as children of God, as the church of Jesus Christ, it's like we've forgotten that he's holy. And we're invited to intimacy and to come boldly. But I don't have a right to it. God doesn't work for us. We serve him. Do not demand things of God. That's a mistake. Don't demand things of God. Ask God. Ask of God. Plead his mercy. Pray for his will. And God will bless. Go to James chapter 5. We'll close with this. James in chapter 5. Book of James chapter 5. Speaking of intensity, verse 16. It was Charles Spurgeon. Let me quote him again. I know of no better thermometer of spiritual temperature than the measure of intensity of personal prayers. It says in James in chapter 5 and verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. And the effectual, fervent prayer, fervent, that means energized, driving at, desperate, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, just like you and me. And he prayed earnestly. That means intensely. And I'm wondering, how often do we pray like that, except for when there's an emergency? How about we come to God and make use of the biggest weapon given to the child of God in the year 2023. I believe we're going to get to heaven and we're going to look down at the history of the United States of America and we're going to find that when America had drifted its farthest from God, it's because God's people were not interceding. We're not praying. We'll find that when sons and daughters drifted away from God, it's because mom and dad were not fervently, effectually praying to God and asking for great things. Because that spiritual wickedness that's going on in high places is all around us. There's got to be a fire in the boiler. It can't just be empty action. Are you a prayer warrior? Are you someone that knows how to get a hold of God? Again, we need some praying John Hydes. Again, by the way, prayer's hard work. Not a lot of people willing to do it. Prayer takes great focus. Flesh doesn't like that. But I'll promise you, if you're born again and you get a prayer life, things will change.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.